Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And welcome to worship. We need three different resources for our service tonight. A red hymnal and a song sheet booklet and a half sheet with the order of service. If you didn't get either of those or there's no one next to you with whom you can share, those are available near the burning candle there at the entrance. This is a communion service, and the first and most important thing to say about that is all are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we have a little logistical challenge in this space that we need to talk about just briefly. There will be three stations to receive communion, one in front of the table and one on either side. And you will receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those. And the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you have a gluten allergy, please indicate that when you come forward, and we'll make a gluten-free host available to you. And if you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate when you come forward. And if you would like to read more about the theology of the sacrament of Holy Communion in the Lutheran tradition, you can find conveniently Luther's Small Catechism on page 1166 in the back of your hymnal if you've forgotten it since confirmation days. There will be an offering given during the service, and 100% of our offerings are being given to Lutheran World Relief for famine relief in the Horn of Africa. And finally, I hate to be one to brag, but this very beautiful stole that I'm wearing was made for Holden in honor of Holden's 50th anniversary, which is being celebrated this year. And this was woven by many hands over the course of the past year at the 50th anniversary celebrations that have been going on, that went on in Minnesota and in Washington. And so hands of people ages 8 to 80, probably, and everywhere in between, went together to make this for Holden. And there's a little embroidery on the back commemorating it to Holden's 50th anniversary. So this stole is a symbol of the many years of Holden's life and ministry as well. And with that, our service will begin with a procession of water, remembering the waters of baptism. The song, "Come to the Water of Life," is found. The words are printed on your order of service. And with each of the four verses, water will be processed forward, water of our valley, and poured into the baptismal font. We'll remain seated so we can all see during the water procession.
Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the creator of wind and rain, mountain and river, including the waters of our own Railroad Creek watershed, the river of life, coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world. Blessed be you, into which we are baptized into Christ.
Amen.
Before God, and in the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sins. God of all,
we confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have been judgmental toward others, to avoid looking at ourselves. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways we wish we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us and heal us for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
Please sing back what you hear me sing to you.
Come, let us worship God.
Come, let us worship God.
Stand up and greet your neighbor. Greet your neighbor. And welcome everyone to the love of God. Come, let us worship God.
Other hand and just swing it up to the air. That's glory. You know, the aisles can also be used here if you need a little more elbow room. So move out to those aisles, okay? Glory, glory, and then hallelujah. You keep bring both hands up, give a little crook on your fingers, give a little spin, and go up as high as you can go. So it's glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah! And thanksgiving to the living God, we go like this. Thanksgiving. Drop your hands all the way down, slap your thighs. Whoop them up your body to the living God. And I like to bring this hand down there and swoop them back up like that, just to remind ourselves that God is incarnate everywhere. Thanksgiving to the living God. Here's how we're going to sing. Listen once. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. Give that a try.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
The first reading is a reading from Ezekiel. A voice said to me, "O mortal, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." And when the Lord spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the Lord speaking to me, saying, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. They shall know that there has been a prophet among them." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Tonight's Psalm 123 can be found about one-third of the way through your red hymnal. And we will read this psalm responsively by whole verse. "To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show us your mercy. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and of the derision of the proud."
The second reading is a reading from 2 Corinthians. "I know a person in Christ who was 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, again, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my own weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that in the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And Jesus could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable unto you this night. O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. On Friday, Ben Stewart and his sons Forrest and Justin and I hiked Martin's Ridge. It was a hike that I had not done before, though Ben had done it a number of times. We left at 7 a.m. on the 10-mile trail, took the switchbacks up, and then bushwhacked and scrambled our way to the top of the ridge. One of the amazing things about being in the mountains for me is being able to observe the changing climatic zones as you change elevation. And so in our walk up Martin's Ridge, we ascended into the subarctic. We saw plants and animals you do not see here in the valley floor. Clark's nutcrackers, a kind of bird, probably looking for a crumb of our lunch, but they were everywhere. And mountain hemlocks, sprouting from the barest rock with short, thick, gnarled trunks and branches. We saw bear tracks in the snowfields right at the very top of the ridge that no doubt had been made just that morning. And as evidenced by the little piles of chocolate chip-looking things on the trail that were definitely not chocolate chips, I have come to the determination that there were mountain goats on that trail as well. We followed the ridge west, climbing higher and higher. As Glacier Peak, our neighborhood volcano, loomed into view. Above was the bluest sky you could ever possibly imagine, and in every direction, mountains beyond mountains. And below, in this forested valley, we could see the scar of the orange tailing piles and Little Holden Village. We ate our lunch of sandwiches and a little gorp and drank our water, conscious that we'd need food and water to sustain us through the day. what we carried with us had to be enough. We had to make it last. Lately, I've had a line from Wendell Berry in my head, and I found myself turning it over and over in my mind as we hiked up and across Martin's Ridge. Berry is reflecting on the notion of abundance in John's gospel. And he writes, "Abundance cannot refer to an abundance of material possessions, for life does not require material abundance. It requires only material sufficiency. That sufficiency granted, life itself, which is a membership in the living world, is already an abundance." I couldn't quit thinking about that. We did not have an abundance of food and water in our packs. We had enough, sufficient for the day, and nothing more. It was all we needed. Same for the mountain hemlocks and the mountain goats and the gray jays that kept us company as we hiked. It was enough that sustained us and allowed us all membership in the whole amazing commonwealth of creation. Abundance beyond measure. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus sends his disciples out two by two to extend and multiply his mission of liberation and healing of the kingdom of God come near. It wasn't a hike up Martin's Ridge that he sent them on, but it was through the hill country of Galilee. And it wasn't exactly an auspicious start that things were getting off to. The story, as Mark tells it, is that Jesus had returned to his hometown of Nazareth, the local boy with a growing reputation, and it depended on who you asked whether that reputation was good or not. As the crowds of the sick and the homeless and the outcast and the unemployed followed him wherever he went, the religious and political authorities were opposing him every step of the way. Jesus was becoming the sort of person you could get yourself in trouble by associating with. So this might explain why, when the hometown boy goes home and speaks in the synagogue, they would have none of it. They had known Jesus since he was young. They'd known his whole family, in fact. He was just little Yeshua to them. But I suspect they might have had even more of a motivation for distancing themselves from him, because they knew, as well as anyone, what happens to people who color so far outside the religious and cultural lines. They end up dead on Roman crosses. These people in Nazareth, they didn't want government investigators keeping files on them as they were beginning to keep files on Jesus. They had very practical, save your own hide type reasons for disowning him, which I suspect we all, in our own various ways, can identify with. So it's fair to say that Jesus' trip home was kind of a disaster, a shipwreck, which is what makes it all the more surprising that he leaves Nazareth and continues on his merry way to the other villages as he sends the disciples out two by two. Their mission had run up against resistance in Nazareth, but no matter. Onward. Then Mark writes this. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money. The hook comes in the next line when Jesus tells them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. So they're sent out without food, without money. And because of that, their mission is based entirely on hospitality, given and received. That hospitality would be the foundation of this movement and message of the kingdom of God come near. Such hospitality to God and to one another, when it is granted, we discover, in the words of Wendell Berry, I think it's safe to say, that life is already in abundance. But here's the thing. On this hike, it wasn't just sufficiency and abundance that I became aware of, but scarcity and limits. Here's what happened. We arrived at the western end of Martin's Ridge, looking down at both Hart and Holden Lakes. We decided it was time to start descending. Ben had a teaching session after dinner, and we needed to get back. And so we made our way down some very steep scree, dependent on Ben to lead the way, as he was the only one of us who had made this hike before. Well, I got a little antsy and got ahead of the group and came to a snowfield and couldn't resist sitting down on my butt and sliding down. Pretty soon, very quickly in fact, I had slid a quarter mile down the mountainside and was completely separated from the rest of the group. They were out of sight, completely. As I waited at the bottom of the snowfield, it became clear that they were not following me. I was lost and a little scared. There were two coyotes on the ridge, silhouetted against the sky, watching me. And I was nearly out of both food and water. All I knew is I had to go down. After nearly 2 hours of bushwhacking, I came out on the Holden Lake Trail, hoping that Ben and the boys were ahead of me. I, after all, was the one who had gotten lost. Ben knew the way. I got back to the village at 6:30, 2 hours later than anticipated, and they still weren't back. 7:30, still no sign. All kinds of dreadful scenarios were playing out in our heads, including that they had thought I was hurt and lost, and they were looking for me, and had somehow gotten hurt themselves. A search team was mobilized and headed up to Holden Lake, prepared to spend the night and commence a search at first light. Then at 8:30, we received word that Ben and the boys were back in the village. They had decided that the descent was too steep for comfort and had reversed their tracks and gone all the way back to the 10 mile trail. They were fine. We were happy to see each other. I was happy that they were okay, and they too had been worried that I might have hurt myself on my ill-considered snow slide down the mountain. The fact is that we all could have been hurt or dangerously lost. And we could have run out of food and water, unable to make it back to the village that night. This sort of thing happens all the time in wilderness areas. Take nothing for your journey, Jesus told the disciples. I don't know if I'd really recommend this as advice for wilderness travel. Please follow the hike house's advice in these matters. Please exercise more caution than I did traveling without a map through territory with which I was unfamiliar. However, there is a reason that Jesus told them to travel empty-handed. There is a reason that Paul could take such assurance in God's promise spoken to his heart. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. When we realize we are completely empty-handed, naked we were born, naked we go, that we are all beggars, it is true, then we can only cling in life and in death to the promises of the living God who is mercy, who raises the dead. We began this service remembering the waters of mercy that is baptism into Christ. And in a few minutes, we will celebrate the mercy of Christ given for all in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. None of this may seem like much. Some water and a promise. You are God's forever. A little bread in the hand, wine on the lips, and a promise. This is Christ for you. So humble, so common. Yet when our hearts grasp hold with the yes of faith, we discover a God whose strength comes to us in such weakness and humility, whose holiness is in the most ordinary. Before God, we have nothing to take on our journey except our own empty hands, a fact which became profoundly clear to me on Friday afternoon. Empty hands with which we can only reach out and ask God to fill. And that reaching out is faith. And to say amen with thanksgiving and gratitude is already an abundance beyond all measure. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us offer our prayers to God. Each bid will be followed by a moment of silent prayer, then followed by the sung response, "Hear our prayer," on the second page of your song sheet. Nations and cultures. We pray. Watershed and all the ecosystems by the many people here gathered where we work, worship, and live. We pray. We pray. Pray.
Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. please stand as able. We sing, "What shall we offer from your song?"
Gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord. All the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. United in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us not in time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of our Lord, now and forever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace. Grant us your
First communion song tonight, which you'll find on your song sheet, is "Just as Jesus Told Us." Just as Jesus told us, just as Jesus told us, we shall all be fed, and we will remember what he did and said, and how he goes on living in the bread. Just as Jesus told us, we will
Number 483 in the ELW, let us break bread together. Sorry, that's the wrong number. Thank you.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Hymn number 876.